Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I had a mountaintop experience this week. I was in Arizona, and actually kind of in the foothills, just north of Phoenix. I was not there for the Super Bowl. In fact, when I got in the car to drive to Arizona Friday morning, I did not know the Super Bowl was in Phoenix at that moment. So, folks were talking about, like, all the things happening in Phoenix this weekend, and I'm like, what things? But I had an amazing retreat experience, a lot of time for self-reflection, beautiful worship experiences, and big, long afternoons of Sabbath time. It was lovely. We talk about mountaintop experiences as those moments of special joy or significance in our lives, and often as times where we have a moment of encounter with God. And that, I think that comes from, that's reflected in our scripture, when over and over throughout scripture, mountains are places where God is revealed. Moses encounters God face to face on the mountaintop, right? All those weeks that the Mount Sinai is covered with clouds and storms and lightning, and the people of Israel are at the bottom, and that's when God gives the Ten Commandments. But when Moses is up on that mountain and encounters God, he comes down the mountain and his face glows and shines. I think that's an amazing story. Elijah also experiences God's presence on a mountaintop, but for him, God doesn't come in a storm or fire, but in the sound of silence. These past weeks, we've heard Jesus teaching from the mountainside, teaching in the Sermon on the Mount about what it means to be the people of God, what it means to live in the upside-down world of the reign of God. Then now we're skipping a bunch of chapters of Matthew. Jesus and the disciples skip weeks and months of their lives. They watch Jesus heal. They listen to him proclaim and preach and teach. They watch him argue a lot with the scribes and Pharisees, right? And then we come to another mountain. And on this mountain, the glory of the Lord is revealed in the person of Jesus. Jesus takes three of his disciples up on the mountain, and he is transfigured before them. His appearance changes to reflect his inner reality of his divinity. Moses and Elijah appear there with him, and the sky lights up. Now think about this for a minute. This is a couple thousand years ago, right? Light was not what it is for us today. When there are searchlights and lights in the sky and strobe lights and all those things, you can walk in a room and flip a switch and there's light. It's not a big deal for us. But think about a time when light was the fire that you could keep kindled. Maybe a torch, an oil lamp, right? Candles, but light was not something that was readily accessible. Lights in the sky, the moon, the sun, the stars, the lightning were acts of God, were supernatural. And so when Jesus comes to light and the sky lights up, that is a moment of revelation of God. And then the voice of God comes from the sky, just as at Jesus' baptism. This is my son, the beloved. And then God adds, listen to him. The disciples are afraid, and they fall down at the feet of Jesus. It's overwhelming, this revelation of Jesus' glory, this nearness of God. And it's also a foreshadowing of the resurrection. And I picked this picture because it holds that. There are the disciples, and it's the transfiguration. But if you can see the marks in Jesus' palms and feet, which is, you know, pulling that this foreshadows what is going to happen. Now, if you remember the course of Matthew's gospel, Jesus just, it says in 6 days later, 6 days ago was when Jesus told the disciples that he was going to suffer and die and be resurrected. And the disciples, especially Peter, said, "Oh no, Lord, that can't happen. We can't let that happen to you. Surely not you, Lord." And so I think that might be why God says, listen to him. We're not listening very well. They don't really want that reality that Jesus knows is coming for them. But also this is a preparation for them to enable them to get through what comes next. And a number of commentaries suggest that the reason that Jesus says don't tell anyone about this is because it really only makes sense in the light of the resurrection. That this moment of resurrection, this moment of glory, is something that after Jesus dies and is resurrected, the disciples can say, "Oh, you know, we saw that. We saw that divinity, that glory of God that day." Another commentator I read this week suggested that maybe this is also preparation for Jesus. This is certainly a moment of revelation of Jesus' divinity. And for myself, if you take seriously that Jesus was human, then walking toward Jerusalem and what he knew was going to happen there was going to cause some anxiety, some fear, perhaps some doubt. We see those moments when Jesus says, "If this cup could pass from me, that would be okay with me." Right? There is that human side that's saying, "What is going to happen?" And this is a moment when God says to Jesus, "Remember that you have been brought to this moment as a fulfillment of our covenant with Israel. That you are my son, my beloved, and with you I am pleased. Never forget that." So perhaps we have here a moment where God is sharing, not just with the disciples, but even with that human part of Jesus, some reassurance for what is to come. And then comes a moment that I have to say I've often missed in reading this story. Jesus comes to the disciples where they're huddled in fear, and he reaches down and he touches them. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus often heals with touch. And in this story, he reaches, he touches them, he lifts them up, he offers them healing and wholeness, reassurance. "Do not be afraid," right? And so then I can imagine Jesus taking them by the hand, and they all walk down the mountain together into what is coming next for them. So in this story, Jesus is transfigured. Oops, I went the wrong way. Jesus is transfigured. His appearance changes. Jesus, who is literally the light of the world, takes on the appearance of light just for that moment. As Jesus' followers, we need more than transfiguration, right? We need more than a makeover, more than the appearance of holiness in the world, which we're not always so good at. But we need to do better. What we need is transformation, to be changed in our inner reality, to have our hearts changed in our relationship with Jesus, so that we can become more like Jesus. So you know that the moon does not create its own light, but it reflects the light of the sun, right, onto the earth. And that's us. Can we be the moon that just reflects the light of Jesus into the world? And that takes for us a transformation of our lives. At our weekly Bible study on Thursday, we talked about what it might mean to be transformed. What does that look like? Transformation gives us new goals and a new purpose. As we listen to teachings like the Sermon on the Mount that invite us into this upside down reign of God, a whole different set of values and purpose. Transformation gives us deeper compassion, draws us into seeing the needs of our neighbors in new ways and responding to them in however ways we can. Transformation can make us more secure, less frightened by the changes and chances of life. And certainly, there are many things out there to be afraid of. Being rooted and grounded in God's love gives us a security that is different than anything we can know. It is the purpose of our faith, my friends, to be transformed by listening to and following Jesus so that we might become little Christs in the world. That's a Luther phrase, little Christs in the world. So today we have our annual congregational meeting. And it is a day that we focus on what is ahead of us in this coming year and beyond. The truth is that we are in a very uncertain time to be church. We don't know just where we're going. We are walking along with churches everywhere, my friends. Every pastor I know is having this conversation. We're not really sure what's ahead of us. And so Jesus invites us to these places on the mountaintop to see him transfigured, to be awed by his presence. And Jesus invites us to this place, to this table, to be fed by his presence and encouraged and to grow. And then Jesus, the one who is Emmanuel, God with us, walks with us out into the world so that we can spread the light of his love. Thanks be to God. Amen.